It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Brian Kilmeade.
I'm Martha McCallum.
I'm David Asman, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Thursday, November 24th, 2022. Elisa Brady. You can make a difference. Serving up some encouragement on this Thanksgiving with Tim Tebow.
Every day we have so many distractions. There's so many things that are calling for our attention, calling for our time, calling for our efforts in our life. And I just wanted to encourage people, we need to start our day right.
I'm Abby Hornacek. On a typical Thanksgiving dinner table, you might see a roast turkey, some stuffing, and cranberry sauce. But why do we eat the foods we do? And how have modern Thanksgiving staples changed?
I mean, you have to think back a couple hundred years ago that there was tons of turkeys. And there was, pigs were an essential part. You know, people had pigs and chickens like they have pets now.
And I'm Jim Daly. I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
'Tis the season of thanks and giving. But for some, thinking of others happens all year round. Tim Tebow is one of those people. The star athlete whose Tim Tebow Foundation is on a mission to help people around the world in their darkest hour of need, especially children, an inspired purpose in life. Now he's sharing inspiration.
At the start of every day, we all have a choice. Will we make that day count?
Tim Tebow's new book is Mission Possible, 1 year devotional.
I think it's the thought that I've needed so much in my life. I've used devotionals.
He's challenging readers to find their mission and pursue a more fulfilling life.
I love being able to dive into God's word and then get practical nuggets and encouragement. And I'm someone that's always needed it. And I just wanted to be able to give something that's easy for people to dive into. I think, you know, on average, it's probably between 2 and 5 minutes, but something to start our day, because I just think every day we have so many distractions. There's so many things that are calling for our attention, calling for our time, calling for our efforts in our life. And I just wanted to encourage people, we need to start our day right. We need to start our day with the right mindset, understanding our mission, understanding our purpose, understanding our why, and diving into our true identity and the love that God has for us and God's character with that. And then also kind of them challenging them to get uncomfortable, to live intentionally, to say yes to loving people, to say yes to thinking bigger than themselves. And then really kind of a third bucket was, I just wanted to encourage people. Life can be hard. It can be disappointing. It can be frustrating. It can be overwhelming. And so I think, you know, another one of those buckets that I want to encourage people in this 365-day devotional is we need encouragement. You know what encouragement means? It means to give support, confidence, or hope to. And I think we all need that. We need support. We need confidence, and we need hope. And I don't think there's a lot of places we can go to get it. But I do think that we can get it in God's word and his truth about us and God's promises. And so that's why every day we start with God's word. And then we have practical nuggets of things that are so applicable and easy to understand, but also can dive deep into some different nuggets where we can grow from them. But then also, I love in this devotional that we have 31 other people's stories that were inspirations to me. And I just really wanted to share their stories. And a few of them are from parents that have lost their children. Some of them are from young kids that are fighting life-threatening illnesses. One of them is from a survivor of trafficking. And they get to share their stories of what they've overcome and how we all can find encouragement and inspiration from it. And so I just think, you know, all of that mixed together is something that I really feel like can encourage people to go out there and live their mission possible life.
Let me ask you to explain a little bit what you mean by encouraging people to get uncomfortable, because I feel like human nature is to try to be more comfortable, right? So what do you mean by that? And why do you think it's important?
Well, I think one of the things that if we're living in just our own human nature and our own flesh, there's going to be so much of our tendencies that are going to say, hey, get as comfortable and as secure as possible. Like, and what I mean by that is build up your 401k before you ever think about giving to a nonprofit. You know, don't go to hard places. Get literally as comfortable as possible. It is literally like our nature to get us comfortable. We want to feel comfortable. That's why we love comfortable couches. That's why we love security. But one of the ways I believe we can have the most impact is actually when we sort of reverse that. When you look at so many of the heroes that have been, servants to so many people around the world, you look at the great evangelists, the great missionaries, the Mother Teresa's out there, they have put themselves in some pretty uncomfortable situations. Mother Teresa went in the middle of a war in order to cease fire, and they listened to her, and she was able to get dozens of children, orphans, out of harm's way, right? When she goes to sleep that night, do you think she was thinking, oh man, I put myself in harm's way? I doubt it. I bet she was probably thinking those children were worth it. And yeah, it was uncomfortable and I could have probably lost my life, but all those kids were worth it. But she was willing to get uncomfortable because every one of those lives was worth it to her. And I believe when we get uncomfortable, it might not always feel good, but our ability to have impact, our ability to create change, our ability to inspire others, and ultimately, how much we are fulfilled. I just don't think we get fulfilled when we sit on a couch and we watch Netflix, even though sometimes it's nice. And I'm not saying we can't do it. I'm just saying if that's how we live our life, then we live our life in a series of comfort after security. And I just think we miss out on so much impact that we could have had because we were more worried about being comfortable than being impactful.
This book has some themes that sound like they can be helpful to anyone. Aligning responsibilities, identifying priorities, sounds like maybe being able to be more centered.
Absolutely. I think that's so important every day that we start because there's so much that's going to be thrown at us, right? And so if we don't align our priorities and our responsibilities, right, and we don't actually even identify them because we haven't thought through them to know what they are, what are the chances we're actually going to live it out? But if we can stop and we can think and we can write them down and we can go over them and we can meditate on, okay, actually today, this week, this year, what are my priorities? What do I want to do? Who do I want to become? Where do I want to grow? When we can identify those, we have so much of a better chance to actually become that, live it out and do those things. And when we actually align our priorities with those things that matter, our chances of being able to have impact go up so much. And then also we so want to be able to elevate our convictions over our emotions because our convictions is something that also helps us get uncomfortable when our emotions are going to tell us you need to be as comfortable as possible.
I think, too, that finding a purpose, especially a deeper purpose, can be much easier said than done, right? And life can be really very empty without that. It can be a lot harder without that of truer sense of purpose. So as part of your goal here, it sounds like is to help people find that or more to the point, how to find ways to find that.
That's right. And I think before I even am trying to help them find that, I want them to know that they have one. That they actually have one, that they're not here by accident, they're not here by happenstance, but they're fearfully and wonderfully created by a perfect creator that created them on purpose for a purpose. And it starts with your macro mindset of who God is and who God created you to be, and that you actually do have a purpose. And another way to say purpose is mission, but ultimately what it means is the reason you were created. What is the job that you have been given? What is the reason that you're here? And I believe every single person has a purpose, has a mission, has a job, has a reason that they're here. And I believe that that's something that we learn in scripture is we know in Ephesians 2:10 is for in Christ Jesus, we're a masterpiece for the good works which he prepared for us long ago. Like before we were ever born, we have good works to do. In God's economy, what's crazy about it is it's kind of different than ours. In God's economy, when we give, we actually get more. When we serve, we actually get more fulfilled. And so I just think that not only is it the right thing to do, it's also the best thing for us to do.
How did you come up with 365 different messages for this devotional without feeling, repetitive?
That's a really good question. I'll tell you, I think I understand why so many people would go for the 40-day devotionals because 365 is a lot. But I think it's where it's so many different nuggets that we're talking about, whether it's challenging people, it's giving examples, it's giving heroes of the faith, it's diving into biblical nuggets, it's talking about how we can trust God, why we can trust God, why God's character is worthy of trust. When we go through disappointments and pain, how we can actually believe that God can use that in our lives and through our lives to actually work it all together for good, how we can give our pain to God and that he won't waste it. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I love the 31 lessons that are led by heroes of mine in here that, like I shared, some of them are parents of kids that have lost their life. And, you know, the survivor of trafficking that shares her story in here, like, it's not, a lot of these stories aren't necessarily of happy times, right, in their life, but they're of times in their life, how God used it and how because of it, they're now able to use it to inspire so many. And so I think that's also one of the things that we try to touch on is not just how, you know, when you're trying to live out your mission, that it's going to be easy and it's going to be happy, but it's more so going to be meaningful and going to be worth it.
I know the Tim Tebow Foundation seems to always be growing, always finding new ways to help people. What is the camp that you've been working on in the Poconos?
Oh, that's fascinating that you would ask. It's called Rising Light Ridge, and it is a camp where everybody belongs for all abilities. And it's a camp that was given to us. The property was given to us, and we are building it. It's a several-year build-out, but while we're building it, there's already kids being served and cared for and loved. But it is going to be a camp, and we would probably more so call it a campus, that we get to serve people with special needs, that we will get to serve people that have come from hard situations. We're in the right situations. We'll serve survivors, and our prayer is a land where healing will take place, where love will be found, where care will be ministered, and it'll be a place where people will ultimately understand the name Rising Light Ridge, what it really means. And that's why we named it that, so people could, you know, understand what it really means to know the light of the world, and just how loved every single one of us are, and why we are also calling it a place of belonging, because we believe that every single person belongs.
Well, your positive message and everything you do to help so many people is always much needed and very welcome. Tim Tebow, star athlete, best-selling author, and your new book is Mission Possible, one-year devotional, 365 days of inspiration for pursuing your God-given purpose. Lots of luck on the new book, Tim, and everything else. Thank you so much.
Miss Lisa, thank you so much. I so appreciate it. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
This is Jim Daly with your Fox News commentary coming up.
Thanksgiving Day means a lot of different things to people around the country. To some, it's a day to reconnect with family and friends. For others, it's a day to rest and relax. But one thing I think all Americans can agree on is that Thanksgiving is a holiday all about the food. On a typical Thanksgiving dinner table, you might see turkey or stuffing, maybe pumpkin or pecan pie. But we know how traditions can change over the years, and as traditions change, so do our recipes. Americans have been putting their own spin on some turkey time classics, adding more plates to the dinner table and shifting what we typically think of when we think of Thanksgiving.
Well, you know, when you think of Thanksgiving, immediately think of the turkey, right? And the stuffing.
David Burke is a world-renowned chef, culinary personality, and celebrity restaurateur.
And the sweet potatoes and or whatever potatoes it is. And then the vegetables come in, cranberry relish, gravy, all of that stuff that surrounds the main course is what you think about. And of course, pies. So I think and oftentimes you forget about the appetizer. Like, what are the appetizers for Thanksgiving? Now, the appetizers they vary from the home home cooking versus restaurant cooking. Restaurant cooking for Thanksgiving is much different than home cooking because of probably just tradition and lack of space. So where would you like to start?
Let's talk about those appetizers, because I feel like my appetizer is usually like a cocktail or wine.
You need that too.
Yeah.
That's an aperitif.
Exactly.
In a restaurant, you know, we usually serve fall salads, butternut salads, sometimes goat cheese, dry cranberries, you know, even a crudité for home use. You know, you want some hams, you know, traditional, ham, you know, American ham, Kentucky ham, what you can use, prosciutto, maybe with some squashes, mushrooms, you know, vinaigrette, things that are in season. Chowders are big in a restaurant for the fall for Thanksgiving. You know, you think about the pilgrims, et cetera, yeah, the New England clam chowder would have been a big one. Butternut squash soup, pumpkin soups, things like that. Anything with nuts, you know, in a salad, like candied pecans in a goat cheese salad, for example. Oysters are big. Oysters Rockefeller, baked oysters, clams, casino, those types of shrimp cocktail or a shellfish appetizers or smoked salmon and smoked ham are usually good appetizers because they don't compete with the turkey.
You're telling me that ham is an appetizer?
Ham is an appetizer.
I have been doing this wrong my entire life. Well, rather, not to blame my parents, but it's so I always just see the ham served with the turkey. So that's interesting to know that it is an appetizer.
Well, I think you can put the ham, you can cube up ham and put it on top of warm oysters and bake it. You can slice the ham super thin like a prosciutto. I like it better as an appetizer for Thanksgiving because you get the saltiness with your cocktail at the beginning. And if you want ham, if you want the traditional ham, even if it's little bites with mustard as appetizers, or put them in a salad. You make ham croutons and sear them, heat them up. Your ham and bread fried together as croutons together works nice on a salad too.
One of the biggest things that are, I guess, biggest challenges for people when they're cooking on Thanksgiving is that the turkey is too dry. So if you are cooking at home, how do you ensure that that does not happen?
If you're going to leave the turkey whole, you can't ensure that. So the only way you're going to make that turkey really on point, you got to take the legs off. Or you got to cook it whole and then cut the legs open a little bit. But it's, you know, you might as well take the legs off and then cook the two breasts on the carcass. So you got some sort of a presentation. But otherwise, you just, you know, you turn it upside down. You can do this and that doesn't. The breast meat cooks at 145 and the dark meat cooks at 165. So in order for you to cook the leg meat, you have to overcook the breast, period. End of the conversation.
So that is interesting. I don't like the legs anyway, so I don't even care. Take them off.
Again, you could present the turkey, you know, take the photo and start quiet, and then take the dark meat off and throw it under the broiler and cook it if you really want that whole family photo with the turkey on the table. But otherwise, you're gonna have to overcook it.
If you weren't working at a restaurant on Thanksgiving, how would you cook your turkey? Because there are so many different ways you can cook a turkey.
Well, I'm going to tell you how, and it's going to sound strange, but here's what I do. I take the dark meat off the bone, and I cook it separately. Doesn't matter how. I can bake it, right? The white meat, I take off the bone, and I put it in Ziploc bags or Tupperware, and I put it in my dishwasher.
What?
And I cook it I steam it in the dishwasher for three cycles, maybe four, and then I put it under the broiler to crisp up the skin. It sounds strange, but I'll walk
what?
You through
it. How do you, okay, I mean, maybe I need to get new Tupperware, but so the water doesn't get into the...
No, well, you can use Tupperware, or you can just simply wrap it in saran wrap or put it in a big Ziploc. You throw herbs, salt, pepper in there. Now, like I said earlier, the white meat cooks at 145. A dishwasher, a standard dishwasher at home, will get up to 145 and up to 180 on the rinse. So it's a perfect steam bath, or it's basically sous vide or steaming the breast. Now, depending on the size, you'd have to, and I've done this, and there's a video of me online cooking a turkey in the dishwasher. It is the best, most delicious way and moist way to do a breast. Now, you have to then put it under the broiler if you want the skin crispy. period, the best way. The other way, without the dishwasher, to take the carcass, you can roast the, leave the breast on the carcass and bake that separately and bake the legs, you know, put the legs in, you know, half hour beforehand or separately, and you can bake it, and then you'll know with a thermometer when the white meat's ready, and you'll know when the dark meat's ready, and present it together.
You know, I'm always curious about just kind of the origins of things. We have the traditional Thanksgiving meal items. We talked about the turkey, the stuffing, things like that. Where did all that come from? Why do we eat what we eat on Thanksgiving?
Well, usually traditional foods are based on geography and where it started. Cranberries obviously come from the Northeast, and that's where Thanksgiving started, right? Mm. They don't have, you know, where the pecans came in, that came probably later for pecan pie because pecans weren't raised up north. But you would certainly have cornbread from the corn and the Indians, right? That the cornbread, the vegetables of the fall, which would be Brussels sprouts and creamed onions, mushrooms, green beans are always available. Parsnips, sweet potatoes, yams. Those are all fall things that are seasonal and regional to the Northeast. Pumpkins, obviously, for the pie. And apples, obviously, in the fall for the pie. So right. things back then were definitely more seasonal and regional because you didn't have transportation to get raspberries from California in the winter. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, things like so you don't see strawberry shortcake on a Thanksgiving. you see whatever was in season and what was in that region, which is really the proper way to eat.
Why turkey and why ham?
Well, pigs were abundant and turkeys were abundant, and they were probably easy to raise and catch, right? And also slaughter and affordable. I mean, you have to think back a couple hundred years ago that there was tons of turkeys, and there was pigs were an essential part. You know, people had pigs and chickens like they have pets now,
right?
You know? And turkeys were abundant like bison was, you know, but bison's a little harder to kill but the bisons were out west,
right?
So I think those things, like I said, the soups, the cranberries certainly are right there. And you know, you had you have rum desserts and apple brandy desserts and things like that also.
Yeah, that makes sense because people were also trying to live off the land, and like you said, the transportation wasn't as technologically advanced as it is now.
Right. Well, you also had pickles; people pickled things. You had olives and relish trays. You know, people had they would preserve things back then too. So you know, cranberries were like a preserve, you know, but that was in season. But you had other things that people stocked up for the winter. Ham was salted. The word salary comes from salt, because if you had salt, you were wealthy way before refrigeration, because without salt, you couldn't preserve your meat to get through the winter. Ham comes from the preservation and being able to slaughter your pork salted for several months so you had meat throughout the winter.
Kind of when you study food and how time progresses, every year brings new trends. Is there anything that is new and trendy to the Thanksgiving menu this year?
Well, I like parsnips and parsley root. Harder to get than harder to get in the supermarket. I like to throw a little quinoa into Thanksgiving now and some I like barley also. Barley is another good fall item, like a barley soup. Yeah, I don't see that. Eventually you'll see there's a good product out there for the meatless eaters that like plant-based food. It's called corn, Q-O-R-N, corn. It's a meatless chicken protein. And it for somebody that doesn't want to eat turkey, they make like some patties. And I got to be honest with you, they're pretty good. Mm. You know, some of the other ones are not as good, but it's called QORN. And I think Drew Barrymore promotes it. I think she's the spokesperson. I've tried it. It's pretty good.
Okay.
I'm not against plant-based, but I'm also not a plant-based eater 100%. But that one's a good alternative for those listening that want to try something, that don't want to just eat vegetables, but want to try something crispy and crunchy. So those plant-based things perhaps are a little more rough. And I think some people eat, you know, lasagna, and some people go off the or might eat a roast duck. But, you know, trend-wise, you know, you got some plant-based stuff. I think produce and vegetables and grains are starting to take a little more center stage, especially with the increased cost of meat and fish. And I think it's also a healthy alternative. I mean, you can have a smaller steak and more grains and vegetables and eat a healthier lifestyle, and I think you'll still be satisfied.
Yeah, it's hard to talk about new additions to Thanksgiving menus because it is about tradition, and I am a traditional person. I like to really lean into that tradition, but, you know, some people are different. They like to add things, well, and good point about the you know, the meatless options.
Well, what we've done also in the last year is we give you an option to have lobster gravy instead of regular gravy on your turkey. So it's almost like a lobster bisque with pieces of lobster that we pour over the turkey. So, you know, for an extra whatever dollars, you can get a lobster sauce with your turkey, which actually works very well. Or shrimp with green beans, or adding a little bit of shellfish to one of on top of the mashed potatoes, or with some leeks and onions, so that it's just an addition.
I can confidently say I feel like I'm going to elevate my Thanksgiving experience with all of these suggestions, and I hope that our listeners do as well. So, Chef David Burke, everyone, thank you so much for coming on, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Meet the American who
wrote Ben-Hur, A Tale of Christ.
Lewis Wallace was born in 1827 in Indiana, became a general in the Union Army during the Civil War. Wallace was wrongly blamed for the tragic loss of life by Union forces at the Battle of Shiloh, for which President Ulysses S. Grant later absolved him. But Shiloh haunted Wallace, and he faced his own personal struggle to redeem himself. That according to Larry Paulberg, the director of the Lew Wallace Study and Museum in Indiana. He told that to Fox News Digital. After the war, Wallace, a lawyer, had a distinguished career. In 1880, he wrote Ben-Hur, A Tale of Christ, which became a major bestseller. Ben-Hur is one of the most widely read and influential books in history. It sold some 50 million copies and is considered among the top 24 books of all time. Wallace's fictional tale of Judah Ben-Hur, a Jewish nobleman forced into slavery during the time of Christ and the crucifixion, inspired what may be Hollywood's greatest production. The 1959 epic film Ben-Hur, starring Charlton Heston, won a record 11 Academy Awards. Wallace was also on the committee that found 8 conspirators guilty in the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. In addition, Wallace, described as a true Renaissance man, also served as governor of the New Mexico Territories. He died at the age of 77 in 1905 and is buried in Crawfordsville, Indiana. I'm Gianna Gelosi. Go to the lifestyle section of foxnews.com for more of these incredible American stories.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Subscribe to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com.
It's time for your Fox News commentary.
Jim Daly.
What's on your mind?
You know, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays because it's a time of reflection and thankfulness to God for all of His wonderful blessings to you, me, our families, and this great country. And of course, there's great food too. Turkey and mashed potatoes, gravy, and more. I love it all. But did you know the average Thanksgiving meal is nearly 4,500 calories? It might be a little less if you leave the whipped cream off the pumpkin pie. But why in the world would you do that? Here's something else I'd like you to think about during today's celebration, and unfortunately, it may cause some stress and strain around the dinner table. I'm referring to conversation with your friends and family. Sadly, conversation is an art form that some of us have slowly lost over time. Families are often too busy today and don't have time for regular meals together, and that's sad. I remember having great times of discussion and laughter around the table with my wife Jean and our two boys. But another reason why communication may be failing is because of your phone. If you and your spouse and children are all staring at your various digital devices, you're probably not getting a lot of face-to-face time and good conversation with each other. Hopefully, you'll be able to rectify those problems this Thanksgiving when you're seated around the table with your loved ones and friends. And here's a tip. If you want to avoid the same old small talk of news, weather, and sports, try something different this year. like asking questions, and then listen to the reply. You know, in today's social media world, everybody's talking, but nobody seems to be listening. But if you take the time to ask questions and really listen, you'll be surprised by how much people will open up to you. I recommend you ask open-ended questions that prompt the other person to share something about themselves. Simple questions like, describe a time when you've been happy in your life, or what do you want to achieve this coming year? You can ask about favorite childhood memories or the passion that gets people up in the morning. Now, experts will tell you to never discuss religion or politics, and you certainly don't want to get into a debate during the meal. But what if the other person enjoys these topics? You can ask about their perspective and then listen to learn something new about them, rather than jumping in to argue your point of view. The fact is, most people simply want to be heard. This is especially true for people who may be going through a difficult situation, and you can show a lot of compassion by asking what they need most. And maybe you could even offer to pray for them. Thanksgiving is a wonderful time to reconnect with people and to be thankful for all the good things God has blessed us with, family and friends, and great food included. By the way, those 4,500 calories probably don't include the leftovers you're going to have tonight. I'm Jim Daly, and on behalf of everyone here at Focus on the Family, happy Thanksgiving.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network, Fox News Rewind Financial Crisis 08. A look back at the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression.
The market is not functioning properly.
Subscribe now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.